All right, is it on? Yeah. Okay, well, welcome to this service, late service, smaller service, shorter service. And I don't know why when I came in here, just that phrase came to me out of the Bible, we who are alive and remain. I don't know why, it's just, here we are. But no, that's maybe humorous, but we'll pray for the ones who are sick and at the end of our service have a time of prayer. So welcome to each one that came. Thankful for our health. There's some who are sick. But this morning, I'm gonna have a short meditation, short sermon, I guess you could say. Let us start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you for everyone who has gathered here this morning. We know you are with us. You are here, and we welcome you to our service. We welcome your presence. Help us to realize that truth that you are here with us, and that you would be with me and us as we look into your word here this morning, and we could find truth that would encourage our hearts and our souls again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so now I've been thinking lately about, I'm not going to have my regular study in James. My thoughts had been turned to truth, and probably nobody can guess why, huh? We've been hearing a lot about fraud, and I was just curious. I looked up that word fraud. It is this morning. The intentional perversion of the truth. Okay, so my mind has been turned to truth. And I think somewhat truth, justice, righteousness. And in part because, you know, as you think about the state of our country, I think, well, how should I be praying? And the prayer, I guess, that God impressed upon my heart and mind to pray is that truth would be put forward, the evil would be exposed, and God's another part of my prayer, I think how this is, but I've been praying this prayer lately that the truth would be exposed. In this divided time, justice, that's another thing that's on my mind. Justice would prevail. You know, we have all these courts in our land, and a court is set up to find out the truth and to be just, rule of law. And so, yeah, that's what my mind has been on, and my prayer has been at this divided time in our country, that justice would be done, truth would prevail, and evil would be exposed. So I'm going to continue to pray that, and I want you all to pray that too in the coming week. So, and you know, I've been thinking, you hear so much information from all sides. After a while, you stop and you think, I'm not even sure what the truth is. You know, you tend to believe. We as people tend to believe the narrative that fits what we're thinking. But that don't always mean it's exactly right or true. So there's so much false information, misleading information put forward. After a while, you think, I'm not sure. Is this true? Is this true? I don't know what truth is. And that's what, as I mentioned, the courts of our land, that's what they're designed to do. They're designed to find out what the truth is. Expose fraud, find out what the truth is, and then justice can be done. So as we look at some verses, we will see that justice cannot happen without truth. Justice and truth go hand in hand. So right here at the beginning, you know, we serve a God we can put all confidence in. He has been true and just in his dealings with mankind ever since the beginning of time. And then I was thinking this morning, at the same time, this is actually amazing. He's true, he's just. At the same time he's true and just, he's merciful and gracious. So you think about that a while. You know, courts are designed to be just and true, but they're not always merciful and gracious. God is just and true. He is merciful and gracious at the same time. It's amazing. And so the truth, I think we have a smaller crowd. I think we'll just turn to some of these verses that I had jotted down. If you have your Bible, King James Version, we'll read. And we will read them together, just looking at the truth and the justice of God. And so turn first of all to Revelation 15. We're just going to pick a few verses out that highlights the fact that we serve a God who is just and true. We don't know what's true in this world. We think we do sometimes, and we do know some truth, but we serve a God who knows all truth, and he is a just and true God. So we're going to highlight that from God's word. We're going to read these encouraging verses. Revelation 15. So I want you all to read with me verse 3. Revelation 15, verse 3. So if you found it, let's read this verse. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So our King, notice it's a song. They sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, saying, I don't know why it says saying, you would think it would say singing, but this is a song. "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Our King, the King of saints, if you're a saint, our King is just and true. You know, we people in America, they want a just ruler. They want a just people all over the world. People want someone who rules in justice, justice and truth. Our King is just and true. So let's turn now to almost the beginning of the Bible. Not quite. It's Exodus. Turn to Exodus 34. We'll read another verse that speaks of God's truth, about God's truth. Exodus 34, verse 6. So we read from the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Now we're reading from Exodus 34, verse 6. And this is when the Lord gave Moses the two tables of stone with the commandments. And I'll read verses 4 and 5, maybe leading up to verse 6. We'll all read verse 6. "And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." So the Lord descended, stood with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord proclaimed his name. Now let's all read verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Maybe let's go ahead and read verse 7 yet. "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. And then verse 8 says, and Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. So in verse 6, the Lord God, he is merciful and gracious. I mentioned that earlier, how he can be just and true and merciful and gracious at the same time. He's long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Turn to Deuteronomy, a couple books back. Deuteronomy 32. So we're just highlighting the fact from the Word of God that our God, our King, has been just and true from the beginning. And we know this, but it's encouraging to read it from the Word of God. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Let's read this together. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Maybe one more or a couple more. Psalm 31, 5. Turn back to Psalm. Psalm 31, 5. This is David speaking. Let's read this together. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And then a couple more I'll just read to you out of John that I have jotted down here. Jesus, John 14, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then later in John 16, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show thee things to come. So not only is God truth, he gives us his Spirit of truth. It says, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. And so the question I thought of, how important, you know, in this world, and it's not just our country, this world of deceit and fraud, how important is it to love the truth, to embrace the truth? How important is it? And to answer that question, I would like you to turn to 2 Thessalonians, a little passage there that we want to look at. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. And maybe we'll read from about 8 down to maybe 13. Second Thessalonians 2:8-13. Okay, just go ahead and read it with me. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Did I have verse 14? Maybe I'll just read verse 4. We'll just read verse 14 yet. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what stood out to me in this passage was how many times it talks about believing the truth, the love of the truth in verse 10. They received not the love of the truth in verse 10. In verse 12, it's they believed. Who believed not the truth? In verse 13 again, it talks about right at the end of the verse, it says, and belief of the truth. So the question that I asked at the beginning, how important is it? How important is it to love the truth, to embrace the truth, to go for the truth, not to try to hide, obscure the truth? Or to, what did I say the definition was for that word? To, forget exactly how I wrote that down. Perversion of the truth. But that the truth, fraud is a perversion of the truth. And so how important is it? It's so important, according to these verses, that you believe the truth. That if you notice, it talks about being saved or being damned. The people that love the truth and believe the truth, it says here in verse 10, I believe, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So if you don't receive the truth, you won't be saved. It says later, not only will you not be saved, what verse is that? Verse 12, it says that they might be damned who believe not the truth. So it's so important, it's either you're saved or you're damned. And that's very, very important. Opposites. Maybe one more scripture here I came across is in Isaiah 59. If you want to turn there, I'm just going to highlight a few verses out of Isaiah 59. And this also impressed me because it talks a lot about justice. And it's the sins. He's going over the sins of God's people and the calamities that their sins had brought on them. And I'm just going to maybe pick out a few verses here. In verse 4, it starts in verse 1 by saying, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. And we talked about being saved. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. And then it goes into, but your iniquities have separated between you and God. So the Lord is, he can hear you. His hand's not short, his ear's not heavy. But your iniquities have separated you. And then down in verse 4, these are some of the things he's calling them out for. Is he's saying, verse 4, none call for justice, nor any plead for the truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And then it goes on down in verse 9 again, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. And then again down verse 14, judgment is turned away backward, justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he maketh that depart And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And it displeased him, the Lord, that there was no judgment. So I was just highlighting the fact that their sins, God's saying, all these sins that brought you this calamity, it's because justice is not present. What was that verse in verse 14? Justice standeth afar off. Truth is fallen. Truth is obscured. It's fallen in the street. So, you know, God's blessing cannot be on, first of all, our lives. If we try to hide the truth, if we don't love the truth, and then again, a nation that's going to operate with principles that try to hide the truth, try to justify fraud, God also cannot bless that. So in studying the little bit of studying I did, you cannot have justice without truth. Justice, no truth equals no justice. If you're seeking for justice, you need to find out what the truth is. And that's, I guess, what the courts of our land are designed to do. But courts can also be perverted. They're run by human beings, not by an almighty God. But I think God blesses a country, a land, a court that seeks for truth and seeks for justice. A verse in Proverbs 29, this is the NIV. By justice a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. So you see, if you see instability, you know, we see a lot of instability in our country. This verse tells us, justice brings stability. So injustice brings chaos, instability. And that's exactly what we see playing out in our country in real time. This all this alleged fraud and whatever else we had leading up to this brought much instability to our and a dividing in our country. And in closing, I don't know if we were, I guess we'll pass the offering basket, but there was a song that I found in the book this morning. You may be seated, actually, at this time. We'll maybe pass the offering basket. The song is, Nathaniel, if you want to be ready to lead that, number 284. The song is, Rejoice, the Lord is King. So pay attention to the words that we sing. Our King is true. The words of this song, and I don't know all the words, but I think it speaks to God's truthfulness and the fact that we should rejoice that the Lord is King over His kingdom. He is the most just King we could have, and His term will never end. He'll be King forever. And if we want to be part of that kingdom, we need to love the truth, so that we're saved and not damned, as we saw in that scripture we read. So Nathaniel, if you'd come up, and we'll pass the offering basket as we sing number 284, Rejoice, the Lord is King. So I thank you all for, and you can then just close the service when we get done with the song. I thank you all for coming this morning. May God bless you as you go through your coming week and give you courage and faith to continue to pray, continue to be that light to this world. So thank you. God bless.